Hey, everybody, it's Andy. Welcome or welcome back to the Decatur City Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, we would love it if you would take just a moment to download the Decatur City Church app, where you can find access to all of our recent message content. And the app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend. But most importantly, I hope you enjoy the following presentation, and I hope it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
Whew. Yeah. So they told me if I would watch that like 10 times, it would be less emotional. Well, this is number 11, and it's no less emotional. And I tell you, I think it, man, for me, it's emotional on a ton of levels. But the first thing that I think about when I watch that is just how remarkable is this community that we call Decatur City Church. And then this is where it gets really personal. My mind starts racing towards not just how remarkable is this community, but how remarkable are you guys? Because those stories, they're your stories. Those stories don't happen because of a building or a facility or an organization or a collective. They happen because each and every single one of you is remarkable. And the stories of impact that we're hearing all over this city, they're your stories. And this city is better because of you. And that, to me, is just, that's emotional. But I also watched that video, and I can't help, and I don't know, maybe your mind goes to this place as well, but when I watched that video, I can't help but think about all the people in my story, the people who have gone before me, the people that I look back on, and I'm just like, man, my life is better because of them. Like, I don't know where I would be if it were not for them. In fact, I don't know if I would be here, or I don't know if my story would be turning out this good if it wasn't for them. And I think every single one of us have people like that in our life. And you watch something like that, and immediately just names kind of start coming back to you. And for me, there's several names, but one of the names that jumps out is a football coach, and his name was Coach Maxwell. And one of the things about Coach Maxwell that makes him so remarkable is that he would have no idea that I'm up here telling this story and talking about him today. That's not why he did what he did, but he said something to me when I was a senior in high school on a hot as everything practice field up at Sequoia High School that forever changed the trajectory of my life. In fact, if he hadn't said it, I don't know that it's an exaggeration to say that I wouldn't be here today. And he called me over. He said, Allman, get over here. And you know, when the head football coach calls you, your heart starts racing a little bit. And so I kind of ran over there. I'm like, yes, sir, what's going on? He said, Allman, I just need to let you know, if I had athletes with half the heart and half the passion of you, we'd be state champions every single year. And I learned two really important things that day. One, apparently I'm not an athlete, which is surprising, I know. But two, he said something to me that I felt like was always there, but it was almost like he gave me permission to believe it. He said, you have passion. And you have work ethic, and you have drive, and you have determination. And man, he was right. And it was like those characteristics just came alive in me. And now I love to dream big dreams. I love to work really hard and see those things come to life. And I can tell you, I'm better because of him. And I bet every single one of you, I bet you have people like that in your life too. People that when you think about them, you just go, man, I'm better. Like, I don't know where I would be or where, man, I would be lost if they had not been a part of my story. But what I also think is true is not only do every single one of us have people like that in our lives, I think that's the kind of people that we want to be. I think we want to know that somehow we could make a difference, that somehow we could make an impact, or that we could leave a legacy, or just that somehow somebody's life would be better because of us. And personally for me, I think that's part of the fingerprint of God that's on our lives. I think that's why every single one of us feels that way. Now, I know for many of you, when I start talking about God and him kind of pressing his finger onto your life, for some of us, that makes us really uneasy, and we kind of push back, and we think, I don't know about God, and I don't know about faith, and I'm not sure about that. And so if that's where you find yourself this morning, I want to give you permission this morning. I think you can kind of suspend the God part of that equation for just a second, because I think whether it's something from God or not, I think it's just something that we can all agree is kind of hardwired into us. Like, we just want to be people that make things better. I mean, it's how we make the choices that we make in life. We ask ourselves, or maybe we ask the commercial, or we ask the friend, or whoever's on the other side of us. We ask the political candidate. We ask, you know, hey, how's this going to make life better? You know, for me, for my neighbors, for the world, for the collective whole, like, is this going to make life better? For some of us, that's why we've kind of jumped into the world of Amazon Prime, because we want better shipped to our house faster, and we don't want to pay for it. And then we that wasn't enough. We all added Alexa to our houses. And now we can, like, speak these better concepts into creation, and all of a sudden there's a box on our door, and we have better, and we buy new phones, and we buy new cars, and we have closets filled with new clothes because we needed better shoes or better jeans, or we just needed the new house because it was in a little bit better neighborhood, or it put us in a little bit better school system. It's how we choose our friends. It's how we choose which college we're going to go to, if we're going to go to college, what we're going to major in if we decide. You know, it's how we decide what we're going to eat or where we're going to eat, if we're going to work out or if we're not going to work out. Literally everything in our life kind of comes down to this value proposition for us. You know, it's fine as it is. I don't need to mess with it. Or this will make me or somebody or somehow it'll make life better. It's why so many of us fell in love, and it's how we fell in love. She was better than anybody we had ever dated before, and we liked ourselves better when we were around her, so we put a ring on it, and we just decided this was going to be forever, right? I mean, it's how we make our choices. But I think it's bigger than just how we make our choices. I really think that this idea kind of cuts down to the core of who each and every single one of us are. I really think that this is just kind of the people we want to be. It's why so many of you give a lot of money to charity. It's why some of you have jumped on planes and you've flown halfway around the world and you've spent weeks in villages that you had never heard of and that you'll probably never go back to. It's because you wanted them to have better opportunities. It's why, and rightfully so many of us, we get concerned with the people in our world who have no voice, the people in our cities who are marginalized and are left out, and the people that we care the most about. And so we lend them our voice. We lend them our privilege, and we do it all so that hopefully they could experience better. It's why so many of us, we work so hard to make sure that our kids could have a better life, or at least a bigger life than what we had. And it's why we celebrate the stories of families who have fled persecution and traveled halfway around the world so that they could set their families up to have better lives and have a better future. At the end of the day, like, I really just kind of think this is who we are as a group of people. Like, we want to know that somehow, maybe it's small, like, I don't know that we necessarily think it's going to be huge, but maybe in some way we could make an impact. That, like, at least with our friends or our family or the people who know us the best, we want to deep down know that somehow the world could just be a little bit better because we were here. That somehow we didn't take up space, that maybe we didn't waste our time or just kind of go through the motions, but that really things could be better because of us. And here's the thing. I don't think it's just us that are like that. In fact, I think you're surrounded by a room full of people that feel that way. But I also think, and this is one of the things that jumps out at me the most, is when I open up the scriptures, when I open up the New Testament and the Old Testament, one of the things that just kind of jumps off the pages to me are all the stories of people who are just like that. People who are just like you, just kind of ordinary people that lived and they did some extraordinary things, hoping that lives could be better, hoping that maybe their families could be better. And I know for many of you, when I talk about the scriptures, your heart kind of races a little bit. And we all kind of grew up in different traditions. And so for some of us, like, we think about that and we kind of push back. And again, you find yourself in that place of going, I just don't know. That's not how I experience the scriptures. And so this morning, if that's where you find yourself, I hope that if nothing else, I hope that you'll walk away from here this morning, maybe just leaning a little closer towards, and maybe walking away understanding that ultimately, even though there's a lot going on in the Old and the New Testament, that ultimately what we have here is a collection of stories that tell us a really big story about a God who many people call Father, a God who wants to make us better and who wants to write better stories in our lives. And he does it through people like you and like me. And so this morning, I want us to spend a little bit of time kind of looking at really what's a, it's a list of people who were just like that. And what's kind of fascinating is in one of our New Testament letters, we call it we call it Hebrews, and it's an interesting letter because we really don't know a whole lot about this letter. For instance, we don't know who wrote this letter. We have no idea why they wrote it or who they wrote it to, but we do know that it has stood the test of time. It's ended up in our New Testament, and kind of tucked in the back of this letter is this incredible list of people who are just like you. People who just wanted to make a difference. People who just wanted to know that somebody's lives could be better. And I'm not gonna read you the whole list because it's really long and it would take us a long time to read through it. I would hope maybe this afternoon, maybe when you had some time by yourself, you could just kind of thumb through. You'll find it in what we call chapter 11 of Hebrews. Like I said, it's way towards the back of that letter. But there's this phenomenal list. And if you would do that, if you would spend some time reading through it, you would come across all kinds of stories. Stories about people, people like you, people like me. Some stories you might have heard of. Some stories that maybe you've never heard of. Stories like a story of a guy named Enoch. Enoch lived a long, 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 long time ago. But Enoch, he showed us that God wants to have a better relationship with us than we could have ever imagined. That we could walk with him in some really unique and some intimate ways. You might read some crazy stories. You might read a story about a guy named Noah who many thought had just lost his mind because Noah started building this really big boat on dry land. And Noah did it because he was preparing for this storm to come. And he did all of this so that his family could survive this storm because he wanted them to have better. Or maybe you would read the story of a wife named Sarah, who wanted nothing more her entire life than to have a child. But she was never able to have a child until finally she got to old age when she felt like it was impossible. And then out of nowhere, she was given the opportunity to have a child. And Sarah's story reminds us that God writes better endings and writes better stories than we could have ever thought possible. Or maybe if you spent some time in this letter, you would come across a really familiar story to some of you. It's a story that movies have been made about. It's a story about a guy named Moses. And Moses had all kinds of advantages as a child. You see, Moses grew up in the palace of Pharaoh, who was the ruler of Egypt. But Moses had one major problem. Every morning and all day when he would look out the palace windows, he would see his people, the Hebrew people. He would see them enslaved. And he would see them with none of the advantages that he had. And Moses couldn't stand the thought of going through life with his people like that, so Moses cashed it all in. He gave up all of his rights for the rights of others so that they could be free and so that they could have a better future. You would read story after story after story like that. In fact, you would read so many stories that the way the writer of Hebrews ends the letter is simply by saying, how much more do I need to write? Like, how much more do I need to say? It would take me too long to recount all of the stories. Stories of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and all the prophets. In other words, the books that we have bound together that make up our Old and New Testament tell us all of these stories of people that are just like you and just like me. And when I read those stories, a couple of things happen. And maybe you find yourself like this. I think about those stories. And then I think about the stories of the people who have gone before me, like the Coach Maxwells that I told you about. Or maybe the people you haven't heard about, the Russell Claytons, or the Cliff Knights, or the Phil Browns, or the James Colliers, the people that I go, man, if they were not in my life, I don't know where I would be. I think about this list, and I think about those people, and immediately I just find myself inspired, right? Like I'm ready to suit it up and jump in the game, and I'm like, man, I can do this. Like I can be those kind of people. I can be a world changer, right? And I get so excited. But then another emotion creeps in. And maybe you found yourself in this place as well. It's a bigger emotion than excitement, it's fear. And I begin to get overwhelmed. And I begin to feel insecure. And I begin to get discouraged. And I begin to think, yeah, but I'm not them. Like I'm not like them. They have some otherworldly connection. They've tapped into something that I don't have. And I could never, ever, ever do that. And if you've ever found yourself feeling that way, if you've ever felt like I have felt in those moments, I want to tell you, all of that might be true, except for two incredible words that the writer of Hebrews writes over and over and over and over again. Every time this writer sets up one of these stories, they write these two words, and the two words are by faith. By faith, Moses. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Noah. And again, if you're like me, you hear that and you immediately think, yeah, that's my problem. Like, I don't have enough faith. I don't have the faith of Noah or the faith of Enoch or of Sarah. Like, I don't have the faith of the people in my past to do remarkable things. And I think it's almost as if the writer knew we were going to struggle with this. I think it's almost as if the writer knew that we were going to put ourselves in that comparison trap and we were going to think, yeah, we could just never be that kind of people. And so the writer, before they go into all of this list, really demystifies faith for us. And the writer tells us that, listen, instead of struggling with faith, let me tell you what faith is. Faith is simply the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Faith is just believing enough, just having enough confidence that what we hope could happen would actually happen. Faith is that thing that gives us the assurance about the things that we can't even see. You see, faith isn't something that we tap into that some super spiritual, like out there, like if I don't have enough of it, I can't do it. Faith is just literally having enough confidence to believe that something could be better and then be willing to take the step to do something about it, which means every single person you thought about when you thought about your story, every single person who's made you better, and every single person that we just read about in the book of Hebrews and that you could go on and read about this afternoon, felt exactly about themselves the way you feel about yourself. We don't know these stories because famous people did famous things. We know all of these stories because ordinary people, scared people, insecure people, people who were afraid, people who felt like they didn't measure up, ordinary people took some extraordinary steps at some extraordinary times, believing, just having enough confidence that something better could happen. And you know what? It did. In fact, some crazy things happened because of the confidence that these people were able to muster. The writer tells us that they overthrew some kingdoms. They ruled with justice. They literally shut mouths of lions and they quenched flames of fire. And some of them even escaped death. Their weaknesses were turned to strength. And I think so many of us need to hear that. The thing that we're most insecure about could actually be turned into a strength. They became so strong in battle that they put entire armies to flight. In other words, when faced with the opportunity, when given the moment or the opportunity to act, they acted and their world was made better because of it. And because they were willing to take a step, no matter how small that step was or how big that step might have seemed, but because they were willing to take a step, all of a sudden they began to leave a legacy. They begin to make that impact that you and I want to have. They begin to make a difference on their friends and on their neighbors and on their coworkers, sometimes their enemies. Ultimately, they begin to change the world. But here's the thing, it didn't stop there. It didn't stop with them because that's not how a legacy works. You see, a legacy isn't something you just necessarily set out to create. A legacy is something that gets built over time. A legacy gets built because you or because I or because somebody takes a step. We do something for somebody and then somebody comes alongside of us and they begin to build upon it. And they begin to build upon it, and they begin to build upon it, and all of a sudden it gets bigger and bigger and bigger than we could have ever possibly imagined, and the impact it's having starts to grow, and the difference that it's making is starting to grow, and that's exactly what happened in the case of every single one of these people. You see, what they didn't know, what there was no way for them to know was what was going to happen after them was going to be far greater than what was happening through them or what had happened before them. The way the writer of Hebrews concludes the entire section is by reminding us that God had something better in mind for us, and God had something better in mind for them. You see, God took them, and he took whatever moniker of faith they were able to muster up, and God used them to make their world better. But God used them to make their world better because God had something even better in store for us. And the thing that God had in store for us wasn't a thing. It was a person. And the person that God had in store for us was Jesus. And God sent Jesus to show us that life could be better, that we could be better, that there could be a better hope, that there could be a better future. And Jesus was so much better than anything that anybody had ever experienced. In fact, Jesus lived and died to show the way to a better life. And ultimately, Jesus laid down his life for you and for me. And now, and this is where it gets really exciting because this is where it begins to impact us directly and it begins to impact why we're here today. because of what they did and because of what Jesus has done, because of the way that Jesus has paid forward, we now have the opportunity to once again show the east side of Atlanta what better looks like. And here's what I love about every single one of you. None of you have been waiting for permission to do this. None of you have been like waiting on this message to go, oh, okay, it's time to get started. You have been doing this from the very beginning. It's why so many of you give. It's why so many of you serve here. It's why you gather in homes all over this community to experience authentic community. It's why you show up early and you stay late to create incredible environments that people enjoy. You do it all so that everybody could experience better, so that they could understand that Jesus is better than they could have possibly imagined, so that our city would be better because we're here, so that families could somehow be better, and students and adults and children would be better equipped to make better decisions and live with less regrets in life. I love this about you. It's not something you're just hoping for. It's not something that you've been waiting for permission to get started. It's something you've already been doing. But here's the remarkable news. This is just the beginning. Like this hotel ballroom, this isn't where our story starts and stops. This is simply where our story began, and now it's time. It's time for us as a group of people and as individuals to take another step. Now it's time for us to take a better step.
From the very beginning, Decatur City has been fueled by the kind of love that demands action. A love for the children, students, and adults in our community that pushed us to do crazy things. We've turned a conference center into a church, working overnight each week to transform empty ballrooms into vibrant environments ready to welcome guests. We've navigated cramped, crowded spaces and inconsistent schedules.
Just remember, no services next week. You guys
have And also, awesome. There will be no services here next week.
We don't have a service next
week. We don't have service the next 2 weeks.
In spite of the obstacles, you have given extravagantly. You have served consistently. And time after time, you have invited people to come experience something new.
You know, you could sense there was something different.
And the messages were just like somebody just talking straight to my heart.
It didn't feel like I was alone anymore.
Over the past 3 years, your impact on the east side of Atlanta has been incredible. But we still want better for this city. Better students, better marriages, better families, better citizens. Better because they know they're not alone. Better because they have a community cheering them on. Better because they have hope in a light that can outshine any darkness. Better because of you. We're ready to take the next step in the life of our church, a step that will move us out of Emory and into our first ever non-portable location, where we can create better spaces for children and students, where we can open our doors to the community every single week, where we can make an even greater impact on the city that we love so much. We can show our community what better looks like, that they are better because of a Heavenly Father who loves them unconditionally, that there is a community ready to welcome them with open arms. It's time to take the next step forward together, and it will be better because of you.
Well, I'm glad y'all are excited about it. It would have been awkward if you weren't. So here's the thing. I'm sure you have lots of questions, and I want to try to fill you in on as much of the details as I possibly can. But the exciting news is that between now and the end of January, our plan is to relocate out of this ballroom and into our first 24/7 non-portable location, and we could not be more excited about it. We've signed a lease on an existing church to rent space from them. It's a church that's been underutilized, and we think we have the opportunity with some really hard work and a lot of creativity to really make something that has become old new again and make it better once again, not only for us, but also for our community. And so I want to spend kind of the time we have left kind of giving you some details about the project, what's coming up, and then talk lastly about how we can all be involved in helping us take this next step. So here's what's happened. It'll kind of catch you up. Basically, about 13, 14 weeks ago now, a church that's about a mile from here, it's on this corner right here. It sits at the corner of Claremont Hills and Druid Hills Road. A church about a mile from here, you may know it as Claremont Hills Baptist Church. If you've grown up in the community, if you've driven by that intersection lately, you would see the signs say Bridgepoint Church. Same church, just new name. But they approached us, and this kind of happens sadly sometimes in the story of churches. But basically, over the last several years, this church has just been in a steady state of decline. There's been a lot of things that have gone right in their story, but sadly, recently, they've just found themselves really struggling. And so they were on the brink of having to sell to a developer. In fact, they approached us really afraid that they were about to have to sell their property. And basically what was probably going to go there was like a CVS or a Walgreens. And I think we could all agree that our community has plenty of those and doesn't really need another one. And so they knew we were sitting over here and we were growing and experienced a lot of really great things. But yet we were also struggling because we're portable and we can't meet every week. And so they approached us and said, hey, could we kind of figure something out together? And so after a lot of back and forth, after kind of figuring out and negotiating what it would look like, about 6 weeks ago, we officially signed a lease to lease about 50,000 square feet of space from them that will give us a next step. It'll give us a home for the next 3 to 5 years so that hopefully a lot of remarkable things can happen, not only in our story, but also so we can continue to do some really remarkable things in our community. So a couple things that I get really excited about when I think about this project is first of all, we're going to honestly be able to probably almost double our capacity on a Sunday morning, which is just fantastic. For instance, this room right now is set up for it to seat about 400 people. We're going to be able to set the auditorium that we're going to be in to seat more like 700 people per hour. So it's going to help us get a lot more people, make it easier for you to invite your friends to. But it's more than what's just going to happen in this room. Especially if you've experienced any of our kids' ministry environments, they are really packed. Upstreet, especially in the first hour, is busting at the seams. They've got kids' small groups meeting all over this hotel. Sometimes families get turned away from Wombaland in the first hour because we're just honestly out of space. And this location is going to help us solve a lot of those problems. We're going to be able to meet every week, y'all, which is going to be awesome. Yeah. So no more magnets and no more crazy schedules on your fridge and no more wondering or trying to plan your vacations around what's happening. Did I mention we're not going to be portable anymore, which is going to be awesome? Yeah. So we have a group of people that show up every Saturday at about midnight, and they work around the clock, and they get everything ready just in time for all of us to show up. And then people like me and you, we use the space, and then we go home, and then they stay here all afternoon, and they keep working. They get it all packed back up. They put it back in a truck, and then they finally get home about 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And we're going to be able to take all of the money that has gone to create those systems. We're going to be able to take all of the manpower and the resources and kind of repurpose that right back into ministry, which is something that I think is super great. It should make our church better, but it should also make us able to better serve our community. So we're going to be able to create better environments for our youngest attendees. Wombaland and Upstreet and our student environments especially are going to get a major upgrade. It should be a lot easier for you to invite your friends and your family to attend. Not only is it on a major corner that's easy to find, but like every other church, we're going to be there every week. And so you don't have to worry if you should invite this week or not. And so there's a lot of things to get excited about. And then there's some really big things that get me excited. And to kind of walk through this next section, I want to show you some concepts of what could happen at this location. But I want to emphasize the word concepts, okay? Because we're still really early in the process, and I don't want you to hold on to these designs, but this might give you visual learners a little bit of something to kind of grab onto. But this is what you would see right now if you drove by that corner. And we think that we can take this and with a little bit of work and some creativity, make it look a little bit more like that, which I think will just be incredible. And what's gonna happen here is yeah, paint's going to go up and there's going to be some new landscaping and the outside is going to look a lot better. But it's more than paint. It's more than landscaping. Listen, and this is kind of big picture. Maybe I'm the only one that thinks about stuff like this. But for the last 5, 6, 7 years, people have driven by this corner and they've watched this church decline, right? And I think that begins to shape people's perspective of the local church. I think that begins to shape people's perspective of our Heavenly Father. And when all of a sudden some new paint goes up and some new landscaping happens, but more importantly, when all of a sudden all of you show up, and all of your friends show up, and there's thousands of people on this corner with activity and life on a Sunday, all of a sudden the community stands up and realizes, hey, something is happening, and they don't even know how to explain it, but something incredible is happening, and I can't wait to begin giving people a new image when they think about their Heavenly Father. So we get excited about that. We can also, if we zoom inside the building, this is what the lobby would look like. It's a lot of what you would expect a typical church lobby to look like, but we think with some sweat equity, we can make it look a little bit more like this, which definitely feels a lot more like us, right? But then when you zoom into this room, this is the auditorium as it looks now. Probably most of us have attended a service in a room that looks a lot like this, right? We've either attended here or something that looks like it. And we're not going to try to hide the fact that this is an old church. We actually think embracing some of the old and embracing some of the charm is a really good idea. And we get actually really excited about some things we're going to do. We are going to try to make it feel more like us, but at the same time, reach back to some of the old and make it new again. And so we think we could turn this room into something that looks more like this, which is just going to be incredible. I actually think this could be one of the best venues to attend church in all of our city. We're gonna hold on to, yeah, I'm okay. We're gonna hold on to the pews and refurbish them and make them look great. We're gonna find different ways to accent the stained glass and just really feature some of that and basically try to lean into what this thing used to be and figure out ways to make it new, figure out ways to make it comfortable for people to attend, for you to attend, and make it just so that all of this that has been in decline could honestly become new again and could experience new life again for our community. Now, as you can imagine, none of what I just showed you is gonna happen, you know, just because. First, it's gonna take a lot of work. In fact, a lot of that work has already gotten started. Our goal is to move in by the end of January, and for us to reach that goal, we had to go ahead and we had to jump right into this project and get started. But not only is it going to take a lot of work, it's also going to take a lot of money, but not as much money as it actually could take. Here's the thing. We're making a lot of strategic decisions. We're trying to be really good stewards. Our mindset going into this project is this really is a 3 to 5 year step for us. So we're not doing every single thing that could be done to this building. What we're doing is we're doing the things that need to be done to make this building usable again, to make this building exciting, to make you want to attend there, to make you want to be able to invite your friends there. In other words, we're doing the improvements that would be necessary for you to get really excited about attending church here. But even with that in mind, it's still a big project. In fact, everything that I just showed you and more that we're going to try to accomplish is going to cost us about $2 million to do all the upgrades and renovations that we need to do to get this facility to the place where you and I want to attend there and where we want to invite our friends to be a part of that. Now, here's the really good news for us. We're part of an incredible, incredible organization. In fact, because of the generosity of our organization, we've already been able to start this project. Our organization, if you don't know, we have churches all over the country, but we have 6 churches that work together right here in our city. And those churches have come alongside of us and they've said, hey, we're in this with you. We want to make sure this project happens. So you guys go ahead and get started. And that's incredibly generous. But here's the thing. I don't want us to lean on that generosity. I want us to own as much of the financial responsibility for this project locally as we can. I think it's better for us as a church. I think it's better for us as individuals when we take steps like this. I think it's better message to our community when we say, hey, this is our community. This is the community we love. We want to write the story of something better in this community. And so I want us to own as much of this project financially as we can. And so here's the even better news. I met with a group of people who are just awesome, a small group of people from Decatur City last week. And I talked to them a little bit about this project. And I asked them to go first. I asked them to make pledges to help us get started with this project. And they have just been incredibly generous. In fact, there's a group of people that have gone before us and they've already pledged to give over half of the money towards that project. So we're already halfway there, y'all. which is really awesome. I think we can go ahead and own the rest of this, and that's what I want us to do. And so today, we are launching what we're calling our Better Because campaign. It's our first ever building campaign. Maybe we should call it a renovation campaign because we're not actually building anything yet. But it's our first ever campaign, and I want us to raise money to offset the cost of this project. I want us to own as much of this thing as we can locally. And here's the thing. For us to do that, every single person who calls Decatur City Church home needs to participate. And I want you to participate. And I know you may be sitting here and you may be thinking, well, I just don't have a lot to give right now. It's just not a really good season for me, or, you know, I don't know. I don't have a lot to give. I don't know that I can make a difference. Listen to me. This isn't about how much you can give. This is about, I don't want you to miss the opportunity to be a part of this story. We're going to start writing even better stories. This is going to give us the opportunity to do more in our community, and I want you to be a part of it. No matter how much you can contribute, I want every single person who calls this church their home to participate. So here's what I want you to do. Sometime this week, between now and next Sunday, I want you to head over to a website that we've created. The website is better.decaturcity.org. Better.decaturcity.org. And I would like every single one of you to make a pledge. And here's what you're pledging. You are pledging that sometime between now and the end of next year, so over the next 16 months, you will give something financially to this campaign that will go directly to the renovations and the rebuilding and the repurposing of this location. And I hope you know this about me. I would never, ever, ever ask you to do something that I'm not all in on. Laurie and I, we've already pledged. We've already made our pledge. Our giving starts this month. Your staff has gone before you. They've already pledged. They're ready to give. We are as excited about this as anything we've been excited about. I cannot wait to see what happens in and through this church, in this community, because of what we're going to come together to do as a group of people. Now, before we go, I want to leave you just with kind of one last thought. And this is zooming back out, kind of big picture. The reason why this is such a big deal to me, and the reason why I get so excited about this, and the reason I want you to be excited about it, is because from the very beginning, the cry of our heart has simply been as a church that our city, our community, the neighborhoods that make up this area, that they would be better because we're here. That people would drive by, whether it's while we're here at Emory, or whether it was when we were at Tucker, or whether it's at this new location, or at some permanent home way down the road, whatever that future looks like, for us, that people would drive by and they would think, man, I'm so glad they're here. Like, I don't attend that church, and I don't even know if I believe like they believe, but man, I wish our city had more churches like that. I wish there were more people like that, because they make our city better. The people in this in my neighborhood are better because of them. My employees are better because of them. The nonprofits and the schools in our community are better because of them. And that's always been the cry of our heart. But for us to take this step, and for us to continue to make sure that's our story, it requires every single one of us as individuals taking a step. You see, this project isn't just about us coming together as a group of people, as a community, to do something significant in our community. This project is about us as individuals taking some really bold steps. This is about us as individuals leaving a mark. This is about us as individuals beginning to build that legacy that we talked about. Beginning to make a difference. This is our opportunity as a group of people, but it's also your opportunity. It's my opportunity to begin writing somebody's better because story. And I don't want you to miss out on that.
Well, once again, thanks for listening. If you live in or near the city of Decatur, we would love for you to attend one of our weekend gatherings at Decatur City Church. For information, service times, and information about our fabulous children's environments and our student environments, visit us at decaturcity.org. That's decaturcity.org.